I have cut my teeth at conflict as a middle school teacher. And anybody who has ever tried to navigate conflict with a room full of 12-year-olds knows that there are only so many tools in your tool belt. When I was new at it, I tried a lot of unsuccessful ones first, things that almost stripped the screw, so to speak. I would say, quiet down. And they wouldn't quiet down. Oh, how dare they? And so I went through a laundry list of strategies. I thought, maybe I should say it louder. That did not work. I thought, maybe I should say it with my hands on my hips, sort of all like puffed up. Quiet down. That did not work either. And then I thought, you know, maybe I should just make my face really angry. Maybe if I just like laser eye all of the sixth graders, then they'll know that I mean business. You will not be surprised to learn that that also did not work, to get a room full of 12-year-olds to listen to my instructions. And as a new teacher, after weeks and weeks of unsuccessful different ways to say quiet down with different volumes and levels of forcefulness and facial expressions, what I really needed was to change strategies. I was hearing that ka-chunk, 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 which anyone who has ever stripped a screw with their power tool knows is not a sound that means things are moving in a good direction. What did work with my beloved sixth graders was going back to why we were all there in the first place. Right, was centering in on the things that were most important. Right, we were there to learn. We were not there to be quiet, we were there to learn. And so maybe if I began from a place of focusing on that purpose, that reason we were all there together, and the values that we wanted to live as a tiny little community in my classroom, that maybe if we began there, we might eventually get to a place where they would stop talking and listen. That was my first real introduction to switching strategies when conflict seems intractable, right? When the great knot is so knotted and each of us just pulls harder and tighter on each of our own ends. And maybe you have had a conflict like that in your own life or in your own community. I dare say that anybody on your end of the string from the knot and just pulling harder and harder and harder and wondering why the knot is not coming undone. And when I think of our Unitarian Universalist communities, right, whether they are small congregations or our whole big national denomination, right, when I think of our UU communities or any community really, I wonder about whether the ways that we move through conflict reflect the purpose and the values that we hold as core to who we are in our community. I've often thought that it's amusing, bordering on frustrating, that we are so willing to tolerate ambiguity and disagreement when it comes to theology. We are happy, delighted even, to share the pews or the Zoom boxes on Sunday mornings with atheists and Buddhists and, UU Christians and pagans, right? We're, like, that excites us and fires us up to be different together. But Lord knows, when it comes to the conversation at the annual meeting about whether we should have pews or chairs, suddenly all of these theological pluralists become absolutists. And you are on one side or the other. And, you know, in those moments, I wonder about our capacity for universalism. Not because I think our bad behavior makes us unsuitable for salvation, though sometimes I'm sure we have all been led to wonder, but because our universalism calls us to see our destinies, our trajectories, whether they be this worldly or cosmic, as tied up together, bound up. We often use a quote from the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and we sometimes just use the first line. And so I'm going to read the next few lines that follow it because I think they help illuminate this image of a tapestry as an expression of our universalism. He says, "We are tied together in the single garment of destiny, caught in an inescapable network of mutuality. And whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. For some strange reason, I can never be what I ought to be until you are what you ought to be. This is the way God's universe is made. This is the way it is structured." I can't be what I am meant to be until you are what you are meant to be. Our destinies, our woven together. And that is true in good times and in conflict. And maybe you, like me, sometimes feel that rather than being caught up in this beautiful tapestry of this woven garment of destinies, it feels like we are caught up in this great big knot of destiny. And that somehow we fear that the people on the other end of the string are just going to drag us down with them rather than build a beautiful community together. I think anybody who has done anything in community has certainly felt that way at some point. But, right, your theme here this month at James Reeb and in UU congregations across the country is beloved community. And in the philosophy and theology of Martin Luther King, beloved community is not just a utopia where we gather and there are no problems. Right? Beloved community is not an absence of conflict. It is the presence of justice. It's the presence of conflict that has been resolved with our highest values at the center. And so I often think that one of the strategies that we would do well to switch to when we feel like we are digging our heels in and grabbing onto that same old piece of rope and we're just gonna pull and pull and pull, one of the strategies that can help us is to ask questions. So this morning, I want to offer two questions that might help us navigate conflicts in our communities, which we are working with and through and towards this beloved community ideal. And the two questions are, what might I need to let go of? And what do I need to hold close? What do I need to let go of and what do I need to hold close? And when I think about that first question, right, what do I need to let go of in order for this conflict to move in a way that reflects our values, that reflects our core purpose as Unitarian Universalists, that reflects this beloved community we are trying to build? And as a white person in Unitarian Universalism, I recognize that one of the things that I often need to let go of is this idea of safety, when what I really mean is comfort, right? The idea that somehow in order for me to feel like I can participate in community, I have to be comfortable all the time. And that if I'm uncomfortable, it means that something's wrong. But growth is uncomfortable. Anybody who has ever had growing pains as a child knows that growing and changing is beautiful and necessary and important, and Lord knows it's not easy. And so when I think of what do I need to let go of in order to move through conflict in a way that reflects our highest values, that makes me feel good about the kind of conflict we're having. That's one of the things that I need to let go of. And I am sure that you have examples from your own experiences and your own lives of things that you need to let go of, right? Maybe you need to let go of the need to be right. I loved that song for the prelude, right? Maybe you need to let go of the idea that you're right. Maybe you need to let go of the idea that anybody is right. What might we need to let go of? Right? What might we need to bless and release in order to move through this conflict, whatever it might be? And so the second question is, what do I need to hold close? Right? What is it? And then I feel like anybody who has ever untangled a knot of yarn, my wife is a knitter. And so every once in a while I get harangued into undoing knots in her knitting. Right? And anyone who has ever undone a knot knows that sometimes you need to hold on to a particular end so as not to lose it and let it get sucked into the fray. What do I need to hold on to? I think in congregational life, for me, this is often an invitation to acknowledge, right, who in this conflict is closest to the pain. Who's the most vulnerable? Who has the least access to advocate for themselves? And then that's the string end that I grab onto. And even as, right, I release other things, let them go, I hold on to the string. See, in congregational life, I often find that for me, that's our children and youth, right? That they are a string that I care about deeply. And that while many of them do show up to congregational meetings and will surely speak their mind to you, they don't always feel as welcome in those spaces. And so it's important for me, as a person charged with the whole congregation, to hold up that they are a string that we cannot let go. Or, right, in my classroom, it was the idea that we are here to learn first and foremost, and that everything else should serve that purpose. That was the string that I had to hold on to in order to navigate the many conflicts that arise from a room full of sixth graders. What's the string? What's the idea, the person, the people? What do you need to hold on to in the conflict in order to navigate it well? And maybe you are right now one of those people who's just like, you know, I don't come to church to argue. I come to church to get away from all the conflict, to get away from arguing with my neighbors who don't share my politics. I come to church to get away from arguing with my mother who knows how to push all my buttons. I come to church to get away from arguing with my coworkers who drive me batty. And I hear that. Sometimes we all just, you need to just put your butt in a pew or in Zoom and hear the service and leave. And that part of making community is growing, and part of growing is changing. And part of changing is that we won't all agree about how we should be changing together. And that means we're gonna have conflict. But like, right, like that vision of the beloved community from Martin Luther King, right, beloved community is not an absence of conflict. It's not an absence of growth. It's the presence of conflict that has been resolved with justice at the center. And so thinking about these two questions and all of the other ones that we could spend all day on Zoom lifting up, as helping us move through conflict in a way that is healthy, in a way that reflects our interdependence, right? In a way that reflects that we are all tied up together, whether it is in this beautiful tapestry or a great big knot, we are together. If we moved through conflict in ways that reflected our interdependence, that reflected the highest calling of our universalism, What might become possible? Right? What are the great knots that seem permanent that we might untangle if we can move through conflict in a way that reflects our highest callings? You know, right now, Unitarian Universalists and honestly so many other progressive and liberal communities are having conversations about race and about white supremacy culture. And here within Unitarian Universalism, we're talking about the report from the Commission on Institutional Change, which is a book called Widening the Circle. We're talking about the Eighth Principle. And embedded in all of those different conversations, whatever form they're taking, right, embedded in each of those conversations are invitations to change. They're invitations to change. And so I wonder, what transformation, what undoing of great knots might be possible if we could approach the inevitable conflict that will come out of these conversations, not as a battle with lines to be drawn as for or against, but as a knot to untangle. What beautiful tapestry, what garment of our intertwined destinies might we weave if we can let go of the things that need letting go and hold fast to those that matter most? And so my prayer for us this morning, and for all of our communities grappling with whatever conflicts come our way, is that we hear the kudum, kudum, kudum before the screw gets stripped. And we pause. And we ask ourselves the questions. We center ourselves and our highest values. And in doing so, we build the beloved community, one string at a time. May it be so. Amen.